anger can make somebody lose control of themselves, or anger can deal with a problem. We're going to look at the Proverbs, God's blueprint for living, as a source to understand wisdom with anger.
It's time now for the program, Proverbs, a Blueprint for Living, with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
The peace of God be with you. My name is Father Mitchell Pacwa, a Jesuit priest and a professor at Loyola University in Chicago. And we're taking a look at the book of Proverbs as God's blueprint for living. The sages, or wise people, who composed the book of Proverbs were folks who took time to reflect on experience, on their own experience, on the experience of other people around them, and as a matter of fact, even the experience of foreigners, people from outside Israel. And as they reflected on experience, they came with certain observations that are meant to help us reflect on our experience. And today, I'd like to discuss an experience that is close to most people, something that is, you know, part of the way we react in life, namely the issue of anger. Now, in the book of Proverbs, we see quite a few sayings and verses that deal with the issue of anger, because it's something that is so much part of the world, not only in our times, but also in ancient times. And hopefully this will help us to understand a little bit of what causes our anger, what is the fruit of our anger, and what perhaps we might want to do with anger. And let me say at the outset, I don't think that all anger is bad, nor do the sages. But one has to learn to deal wisely with anger. That's going to be the key. Not getting rid of it entirely, but dealing with it wisely. Reflectively. Let's take a look at some verses. First of all, if you'd open up to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. And we're going to see there that it says, "Someone who is slow to anger has great understanding, and whoever is hasty of spirit lifts up or exalts, raises up folly." Now, this sets the issue of anger into the context of wisdom and foolishness. Notice again that it says, and very carefully notice, the one who is slow to anger has great understanding. It doesn't say the person who never gets angry, who never gets flustered, is wise. That's not so. It's a matter of the timing and patience that helps give one wisdom, so that when one is slow to anger, then one can grow in wisdom. How would that be? First of all, if we are slow to anger, that means that we're patient. And what's a patient person doing? Just holding it in and getting it all bottled up, and I'm just going to explode. No, that's not it at all. That's not what's meant by being slow to anger. That's just being slow to a boiling point and then exploding out of it. You know, that's not what's meant at all. Great understanding and wisdom come when someone is patient and sits back and observes, why is the situation taking place? Why is somebody angry with me? Why is my child acting out the way they are? Why does my wife, you know, holler at me for this or do something to annoy me? And maybe it's like the psychologists say, that there is nothing that takes place by accident, but rather, when people are acting in an annoying way, psychologists, beginning with Freud, would say that they're doing it for a reason. They assume that people are reasonable, and the issue is, what reason might they have? What are they trying to say? And a person of wisdom and understanding will sit back and say, why is my wife antagonizing me this way? Why does my husband not pay attention? Why is he cutting himself off from listening to me? Why is my child running around trying to get attention? And maybe it's going to be for a good reason, maybe not. But a wise person will be patient enough to ask those questions before launching into anger. And maybe an angry response is going to be called for. There are certainly times in which anger is something that we should live out. But we have to have it under the control of reason, under a sense with its direction to the anger, and it's to a point. And it's not just me letting off my steam. That makes me a fool. When all I am doing is blowing up for no reason because I'm frustrated and I can't take it anymore, and I'm just yelling and screaming at everybody and the kids and the dog, and everybody gets out of my way, what does that make me? Someone in control? Yes. Control of the situation? Yes. But a fool? Yes. Now, that's not the approach that we want to deal with here as far as the book of Proverbs. Because if you become hasty in the spirit of anger, then you'll end up a fool. Maybe people, you'll have control because people are afraid of you. But that's not wisdom. That's folly. And we have to examine our consciences on that. Now, something similar to that is in chapter 14, verse 17. Whoever is quickly angry does foolishness. And a person who is wicked, will devise things that are hatred. Now, the thing about the person who is going to be angry quickly is that they won't be able to think through their thoughts. When they're angry quickly, they'll just react to situations. They won't reason out what's going on around them. And that's why they necessarily do foolishness. And if you're sitting there saying, well, but I just have all these reasons to get angry. This guy out there on TV doesn't understand why I get so angry. And if you're going around life with your teeth clenched, then again, you're in danger of living like a fool. And that's not a healthy way. That's not God's way to live our life. And as a matter of fact, you'll end up not only being foolish, but a man whose devices are hated. And you end up doing wicked things. People become afraid of you and dislike you because of your foolishness and anger. And again, that's not what makes for human community that God wants us to have. Instead, you know, we see another proverb that deals with a certain amount of wisdom in this regard. Take a look at chapter 15, verse 1. In this proverb, it says, a soft answer turns away or brings back, causes to return wrath or heat. The word that they use for wrath in Hebrew is a word that means hot or heated. Okay? So a soft answer causes to come back wrath. It pushes it back. So when somebody is angry, then you know sometimes what you need to do is just give a soft answer back. I'll never forget one time I was being confronted by a group of mafia people way back when I was a novice, back in the late 60s. And they were yelling at me and hollering at me and skiing. And all I would do is just look into their eyes, stare at them, and then answer very nicely. And they calmed down. And I stayed calm too. Inside, I was scared. As a matter of fact, my knees were literally shaking, understandably. But it eventually turned them down instead. But the same proverb says a harsh word stirs up anger and just gets things worse. We're going to come back in just a moment to take a look again at the Proverbs. Welcome back. We started to talk about the issue of anger as it's reflected on in the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs bring up another issue related to anger and its effects, namely, going to court and causing up strife and lawsuits. Let's take a look at a couple of Proverbs that deal with that issue. For instance, chapter 15, verse 18, it says, a man of wrath stirs up judgment or discord. Anyone who is slow to anger quiets strife. That's frequently the way your Bibles will have it translated. But let's take a look at a couple of the words that refer the Bible refers to here. In Hebrew, of course, the word judgment means, you know, judgment in court, madon. And this is when you have to bring up judgment because of your anger. And also the word strife, which means riv, means a lawsuit. Now, there are a couple ways to understand this set of Proverbs. One is that when a person is filled with wrath and anger, what they're going to do is cause all sorts of lawsuits, that other people will bring lawsuits against them, and I think what this proverb is really getting at, they will cause lawsuits against other people. Why is that? Again, let's reflect on it. Let's just sit back and think about what's going on. Someone who's going around filled with anger is first of all angry because they don't have what they expect. See, that's really the psychological source of anger. You have an expectation of what should happen to you, and you don't get it. You get frustrated. And this is psychologically, for any kind of anger, this is true. That when you are expecting something, and you don't get it, you're frustrated, and your frustration becomes anger. And either, as like the psychologists say, either you run away from the situation or you'll attack. Now, a lot of people have all sorts of expectations. People will say, well, I don't want you to have a dog next to me. I don't want you to park your car in my area. I don't want you to be doing something that affects my property. And I don't want your kid playing with my kid. I don't want this. I don't want that. People have all sorts of expectations. Some of them are legitimate, to be sure. There are some legitimate expectations everybody can and should have. However, when people live on the basis of their expectations, and I have the right to set whatever expectation I want to set, then you can be sure that they're going to be full of wrath. And what happens as a result is that such a wrathful person who has all these expectations about this is the way it's got to be because I said so, will take people to court. They'll cause up strife. Now, it might not even be formal courtroom appearances, though the terms that they use here in Hebrew mean courtroom appearances. But even in Hebrew, they also have a sense that this is strife or this is judgment that is way beyond the courtroom. Because as soon as you attack somebody as being, you know, wrong, then what do they have to do? They have to defend themselves, psychologically or in court. A person who is attacked and judged by somebody else cannot just say, oh, that's right, that's fine. Sure, I'm a real jerk. Of course I am. And that's okay. That is not the reaction. If we are the type of people who expect, look, you're supposed to be better than you are. You kids are supposed to do this. My wife should do this. My husband should be like this. As soon as we expect that, then you know that you are laying judgments on other people and you are going to cause strife because they will defend themselves either in a formal law court and take and sue you so that you'll appear before Judge Wapner and these other people, or they will defend themselves and cause an argument right then and there on the spot. And if you're a wrathful person insisting and demanding your rights, which is the way our society really has moved, to demand our rights, then you're going to be a person who causes strife for yourself and for the people around you. A great proverb to this point that just shows how this is part of human nature is in chapter 30, verse 33, where it says, if you press milk, you're going to produce curds. That is, if you take milk that's been soured and you squeeze it out and the whey comes out, the water comes out, you're going to be left with cottage cheese. That makes sense? That's just nature. If you press somebody's nose, bam, then you're going to produce blood. Makes sense? Good observation. Now, I'm not recommending it, of course, but it is a good observation. And if you press anger, you will stir up lawsuits. That is, if you push people's anger buttons, if you get them mad, then you will cause strife. That is, defensiveness. That's what that word strife means. Defense in court or defense outside. People will defend themselves, and you're going to get trouble for yourself as well. Now, some people will try to get away with, you know, pushing anger or pushing other people's buttons by saying, oh, I'm just joking. And the Proverbs has a little bit of wisdom about that too. You can take a look at Proverbs chapter 26, verse 18 and 19. It says, like a madman, like a nut, who goes around throwing firebrands, arrows, and death. In other words, if you're like some sort of nut who goes around with fireworks inside of a fireworks factory, or goes around throwing matches around an oil refinery. All right, that's the kind of nut that they're talking about here. It says that's the kind of a person who deceives his neighbor and says, "Oh, I was just joking." You go around insulting people and say, "Boy, you're ugly. Boy, your wife is ugly. Boy, your husband's ugly." You know, I mean, these kind of insults, and then, you know, can just stir people up and say, "What do you mean? What do you mean you don't like my mother? What do you mean you don't like my dog?" You stir this up and say, "Oh, I'm just kidding." There are some things that the book of Proverbs says a wise person doesn't joke about. This is one of the things that you learn about when you teach high school. I taught high school for 4 years, and you see that the boys are doing that all the time. I remember there was one table that we had at the high school. Anytime a kid walked by that they didn't, you know, like, they'd call him a name. They would say, "Oh, you're this," you know, whatever. And I won't say some of the names they called because they weren't very nice. But they just walked right by. Anybody walked by, they didn't like this, call them a name. Now, that's the kind of stupid stuff that these kids were saying. So one of the other teachers confronted them and says, "You accuse all these other people of that. But you know what psychologists say? Is that when you accuse somebody else of something, it's because you're afraid of being that yourself." And he said, "Oh, we were just joking." But you weren't joking wisely. You're joking like a fool. Let's not make jokes at other people's expense and become fools. Instead, what the book of Proverbs is calling us to is wise reflection on our own experience, on our own anger, even on our own joking. Joking has a place. There's fun with that. And we can really enjoy one another more as we tease one another. But there's a teasing that becomes obnoxious and a teasing that is helpful. I rue the day that I did this, but, you know, pulling a chair out from under my sister, she sat down. That was a teasing that was foolish. Now, I was 13 and a fool. And I had to learn that my father taught me very well by practicing what the book of Proverbs says, that if anybody who does not use a rod on his boy hates him. My father didn't hate me. He gave me good spanking. But, you know, to play those kind of tricks or to stir up strife is going to make us foolish. We have to overcome that foolhardiness, get rid of that foolishness in our behavior, and become reflective on it. We're going to come back in just a moment, so please stay with us. Welcome back. We've been looking at a few reflections on the situation of anger that occurs in people's lives, as we see them pointed out in the book of Proverbs, the Blueprint for Living. Now, let's reflect on a few more Proverbs that deal with this, especially some ways for us to approach anger and keep it in balance, because there is a need for anger at times. There is room for balance with it. First of all, let's take a look at chapter 10, verse 10 in the book of Proverbs, if you would. It says, "Anyone who winks their eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall." Now, what's that mean? The prating fool, the person who is very proud and arrogant, "Hey, I know what I'm doing," and just sort of goes around telling everybody what to do, that person is going to fall. If they're a fool, they're going to be shown to be foolish. And you don't walk around with just saying all these words, "Hey, I know what I'm doing, just you guys just shut up and over there and be quiet and I'll be in charge." That person, if they're a fool, will be shown to be so, and the fall is certain. However, if you wink the eye, you cause sorrow. Now, to closing your eyes to problems. That is, you know, winking your eyes and say, "Oh, I won't look. If I don't see it, then I won't know what's going on." This is a problem that takes place in homes, in the church, in the society at large, where somebody sees an issue take place, a crime, for instance, and I just pretend like it's not there. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to say anything because maybe they won't like me. What happens when we wink the eye at crimes or offenses against God or blasphemy is that we end up, you know, letting these things get bigger and bigger. And instead, there is time for us to confront the situation rather than just let it go by. I agree strongly with Dr. Paul Vitz, who warns Americans in particular against the desire to be so well liked and not to ruffle feathers and not to get people upset with them that we end up becoming wimps, that we end up becoming, you know, just sort of milquetoasts who say, oh, well, that's okay, you know, if you do this, that's your thing and I'll do my thing. I want to obey God, but you can disobey God if you want. That's not the way for us to go. Or as parents, to see children doing something that's incorrect, there is room for anger directed toward a child. When a child does something that's obnoxious, not just stupid, but something obnoxious, then it's very important for the parents to express anger at the deed. Now, this is where wisdom comes in. That you take a look and say, all right, it's one thing if, you know, it's frustrating and it makes you angry. You say, all right, you spilled milk again, but kids are clumsy. You know, and you think, well, when they're 13, 14, that they should know better, right? And you get frustrated. No, kids 13 and 14 are especially clumsy because they're growing so fast, they don't realize their reach anymore, they knock stuff over. All right, it's a problem, but it's not the kid's fault. But when a kid does something that is obnoxious, when a child uses drugs, and you say, well, you know, he's just sort of feeling his oats. Not so. You have to say something to the kid, say, that is wrong. And don't do that in my house. And all sorts of other things. We have to confront the situation. I recently saw how some parents don't know what to do when their child, their son or their daughter, brings their girlfriend home to sleep with them at night in their bedroom. Now, you know that they're not just having a pillow party here or something. These kids are fooling around, and some parents don't know what to say. Now, this makes us wimps. They say, well, but they won't like me anymore. That's tough. Or they'll just go someplace else. That's up to their conscience. But we have to make sure that we don't wink the eye and express justified anger at the deed that they're doing. And say, no, that is wrong. It's immoral. It's against God's law. It's not just that it doesn't please me. This doesn't meet my own image of where you should be. That's too wimpy. We have to say, look, God forbids fornication. Anybody who's a fornicator may not go to heaven. Or whatever else the issue might be. That's just one topic. But there are lots of other issues where, you know, kids might be stealing or doing something else or bothering their brother and sister on purpose. All sorts of things. And we have to say, no, that's wrong. But it has to be an anger that is well directed and reflected on. Not just an outburst that's just wham, but rather that it's really clear to them what's going to happen. This also has to be a situation where a person has a clear set of action in mind. The sage, the wise person, will know how they're going to react in a situation as best they possibly can. Or a wise person will be so accustomed to confronting a child who is doing something wrong or a spouse who is doing something incorrect, and really get at the issue that they're attacking rather than at the person. And you see the difference? If you are a wrathful fool, then what you'll do is attack the person. If you weren't so stupid, you wouldn't do this, would you? That's the wrong way to deal with it. That attacks the person and say, no, look, what you're doing here is incorrect. And if you do this, then I have to respond this way. I remember Mother Angelica getting started with the network because she saw that there was going to be a blasphemous movie played on a local network. And she used to make shows there. And she got angry with them. And said, are you going to show this and still call yourself a Christian? Now, she's going after because this was a real problem. So, well, yes, Mother, because there's money to be made. So she had a clear way to deal with the action. If you do this, I'm not going to work here anymore. I won't make any more shows here. I can't in conscience. And that was her way out. And he said, but Mother, you need my machines. I said, you're right. I need your machines, and you need your machines, but God doesn't. Goodbye. Now, she went out and she started EWTN as a result. She dealt creatively with the anger and got something done. So should it be with us in our families, in our workplace, that when people do things that are wrong, we have to sit, reflect, and try to deal with the situation as best as possible by figuring out a way of action that's going to deal with that situation. Something similar to that is in chapter 25 of the book of Proverbs, verse 15. It says, "By long patience, by long forbearance, is a ruler persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone." In other words, if we are patient and reflective and try to deal with the issues at hand rather than exercising our own control through anger and our own intimidation of others and trying to win other people by intimidating them and then making ourselves a fool even if we get what we want, if we avoid that but become patient and work on the issues at hand, then we ourselves become wise. And not only do we become wise, but the situations around us improve. And the people around us are made better. And we, in fact, are made better as we become wise. Let's seek that kind of patience, ask God for it, and exercise it in the situations where we live. God bless you. Thank you.